In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rosdahl. Friday, the 14th of July. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Congress is back in Washington. The Fed chair was on Capitol Hill. We were introduced to Maganomics this week. So much to talk about, so little time. Lee Gallagher from Fortune Magazine and Catherine Rampell from The Washington Post are in our studios in New York City. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Catherine, quick thoughts on the substance of Chair Yellen's testimony?
She basically told us what we already knew, that the Fed is going to continue raising rates, although a little more slowly, it sounded like, than had been expected.
Okay. So, Lee, let me get to the parlor game part of this thing. The subtext of discussions of the Federal Reserve these days is about what happens in January when her term as chair is up. Rumor has it that the president is not going to reappoint her. There are some names being floated. Gary Cohn, the head of the National Economic Council at the White House, is one of them. What happens substantively if the Fed chair changes?
Well, it depends who's put in place. I think that if it were Gary Cohn, I think that the market would probably like that. It would be seen as this is one of our own. He's from Goldman. This is change. But I think, and there's probably a thought that he would keep the good times flowing. But I think, you know, he's not an academic. He would be the first non-academic in four decades. And that's a big deal. I mean, you know, academics, economists, and business people are two very different types.
Yep.
And it's often assumed that there's, you know, that they do the same thing. They absolutely do not. It's like a surgeon and a butcher. It's like very, they seem the same, but they're not. I mean, you know, I'm not saying which one would be which, but but it's
okay,
different. It would be very different.
All you economists out there, let's keep those cards and letters coming. Catherine, I mean, when Lee says keep the good times going, so if Gary Cohn gets this job, he's going to presumably keep interest rates low? Is that sort of the inference there?
We don't know what he would do. Trump himself has said that he likes low interest rates. You know, there's certainly a temptation for someone who is too in hock to the administration to try to be, to like play the Phillips curve, right? Like to try to boost input in the short term and keep the good times flowing, as Lee put it, you know, not take the punch bowl away, which nobody wants to be the bad guy to do. But if you know the long history of the importance of Fed independence, of understanding the trade-offs between unemployment and stable prices, inflation, then you know that sometimes you have to do that. So I think it's a big wild card, but it's part of the reason why some of the more traditional candidates, you know, Republican economists, for example, might not be at the top of Trump's list because they're a little more hawkish. They're, you know, certainly than Yellen. They might be more likely to want to take the punch bowl away.
Right. That is to say, raise rates. We did a whole thing on the Phillips curve about a month ago, by the way. We'll put it on the website, obviously, marketplace.org. Lee, let me move on to this idea from Mick Mulvaney, the head of the OMB the other day, coming out in the Wall Street Journal with a piece that I think was headlined, Introducing Maganomics, Make America Great Again, Nomics. The upshot of the whole thing is that the Trump administration is planning and basing its entire economic plan on growing this economy at 3%. We are so far away from that. It's not even like in the same ballpark. How do they get there?
I mean, short of a miracle, it's hard to see how, because productivity has slowed so much and the labor force growth is in decline. And so it's very hard to achieve that with those two things. And so it doesn't mean that people won't really seize on that number and cheer it. You know, I mean, I think a lot of this is sort of just trumpeting big grand plans. And sure, we all want that. It would be fantastic. But it's just very hard to see how we get there.
Catherine, your thoughts on 3% growth and how we get from here to there?
Ridiculous.
Not going to happen. Is that a technical op-ed writer, opinion columnist?
And that's an economic term, actually. It's so unlikely at this point. There are certain things you can do at the margin, right, to try to increase productivity growth, to try to increase GDP growth, but the gap is so wide between where we are now and where the Trump administration proclaims we will be. And it's not just me saying that this is impractical, right? It's the CBO. We actually had a CBO report this week where they looked at the growth. Well, among other things, they talked about the growth projections that they're expecting versus what the Trump administration has laid out. It's, you know, Moody's. It's various other independent analysts, economists, outfits, whatever, looking at this and saying, you know, just the fundamentals aren't there, in large part because of our demographic challenges and because of these long-term,
trends in the
productivity.
Economy. Yeah, and
exactly.
Also, right, and also the lingering 10 years on after effects of the financial crisis, right?
That certainly doesn't help.
Yeah. Catherine Rampell is at The Washington Post. Lee Gallagher is at Fortune Magazine. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Guy.
Thanks.